Welcome to the GC Podcast, a podcast to help you develop into the healthiest ministry leader you can be by sharing practical ministry experience. Here are your hosts, Joe and Michelle.
Welcome, friends, to part two of episode five of the GC Podcast. Yes, you heard it right. Part two. I am Joe Brannon, your digital, well, I'm not your digital content developer, but I am the digital content developer on the GCI Media team, an avid high fiver. Hey, let's do a high five.
Whoop, boom.
And I love me some 80s and 90s music.
Oh, yeah. Hello, everyone. I'm Michelle Fleming, GCI Media Director. And here's a throwback for some 80s and 90s music. Ooh. Oh, I like to stop, collaborate, and listen.
Hey,
we're back with episode two.
Yeah.
Part two.
Part two.
Where we're just talking with the crew from GC Surrey.
Yes.
And how they have collaborated and strategized to relaunch and reimagine their camp from a regionally based camp to a community day camp.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. And this is the episode that I'm pretty excited about, because this shows kind of the life of what a community camp looks like. So as you said, we're continuing the conversation with Pastor Mike Ermey, CJ and Lucas Malmcar, about how they do their neighborhood camp. So if you haven't listened to episode one, you can go ahead and pause right now. If you want to go back, listen to episode one, because it kind of shows their journey of why and how they got to this point right here. So definitely go back and listen to that. It will definitely give you some context. But in this episode, they definitely go deeper into the nuts and bolts of a neighborhood camp. What does it look like? What is a typical day / schedule? How it connects to their local community and church? I'm telling you, it was pretty impressive. When I first heard about the neighborhood camp idea, I struggled with it.
Yeah.
I really did, because camp is something that's really special. It can be a really great tool, and I have nothing against VBS. I think VBS is a great thing as well, Vacation Bible School, in case you don't know what that is. But I felt like this whole idea of neighborhood camp is just like a pumped up VBS.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, really, are older kids going to like this? And how is this really going to work? And those kinds of things. Until I saw it with my own eyes when I went to visit this camp. And then when I was able to do this podcast, I love the way that neighborhood camps are.
I think it just gives so many additional layers
of
support, right? Yeah. And ability to build relationship that just aren't there with a regional camp. As amazing of an experience as that is, as much fun it is, this allows you to go deeper.
Yeah, absolutely. And I will say this, you will want to really pay attention to this one, because there's so many small little nuggets in this episode that are really shocking and mind-blowing as far as like some of the things that they encountered with the engagement to the community and from the community.
Right.
It gave me goosebumps when they were sharing with me the engagement from the community.
Right.
So, yeah. But before we jump into that, I know we were kind of like, you know, incognito, kind of sharing a little bit, you know. But before we jump into that, as a reminder, GC Podcast is on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify. So be sure to subscribe and share, review it, and give us some feedback. Are there certain topics that you would like to hear on this podcast? We want to hear from you guys.
We want some two-way communication.
Yes, please. We're engaging with you guys. You want to engage with us?
Yeah.
You know, just asking. But also the regional celebrations. Man, they're coming.
They are.
They're starting to fire off now.
You don't want FOMO. Get yourself registered.
Fear of missing out, in case nobody knows what FOMO is. Michelle had to teach me what FOMO was.
I used to live in the FOMO.
So you will not want to miss it. The registration is still open for the celebration in Dallas, Texas, but that's closing April 15th. the celebration in Charlotte, North Carolina. That registration is closing April 30th, so get registered. You can go to gci.org/events for much more information. You don't want to miss out. So let's jump into this part two of episode 5 and my conversation with Mike Ermey and CJ and Lucas Malmkar about reimagining youth camp as a community neighborhood camp. I want to get into this neighborhood camp. What makes it so different from traditional camp? Because when I first heard about this, to be quite frank, I thought, it's just a pumped up VBS.
Ooh.
Yes.
Vacation Bible School.
I do not like that. That is such an oxymoron.
Yeah. Vacation Bible School.
Just
even take the Bible out. Vacation and school. That doesn't make
right?
any
Something
sense.
Something not right in the terminology, and therefore, you know.
Yeah. So tell me, how is it different than traditional camp? The way you guys do it, because now this crosswalk camp as we know it in the past no longer exists.
Right.
Because you guys even changed the name of it, and it's called
Camp Surrey.
Because it's in
our target community.
It's in Surrey Hills.
Novel idea in our church community. Yes.
Yeah. So tell me what is different between that and the traditional camp.
Are we in differences? I mean, obviously, there's no overnight at a day camp, as to where a normal camp you're going to be overnight for consecutive nights, whether it's 3, 4, or 5 days.
So this was a day camp.
Correct.
Yes.
It wasn't like a traditional camp where kids got shipped off and they stayed for several days overnight. So this is a day camp.
Not a residential.
That's a big difference right there. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. A huge difference.
Yeah.
I mean, and then also there's some savings in that as well. And then also if you have people outside of the neighborhood or outside of your community that want to help, that allows you the opportunity to open up your home with more fellowship as well. Mm-hmm. After the camp is over, you can reflect on everything in a much more comfortable setting, in my opinion. So,
oh, in the setting.
Yes. No,
the
it's...
The setting. Yeah. We live in the neighborhood of Surrey Hills. Well, mm-hmm. there is a Surrey Hills Elementary School there. Everybody knows about it because that's where all the kids go to school, right?
And they walk there.
Huh?
They walk there.
Yeah. They know it. It's normal for them.
It's familiar.
And it's very familiar. And we rented the school gym from the principal. We talked to him and we worked it out and we rented the school gym. So it was a familiar place for them already. And then the demographic, the campers that we got. How many of them we set a cap at 50, we filled up the camp.
We filled it up almost immediately.
Before the early bird part
right.
was
before
over.
Before the early bird deadline, we were filled.
So, okay. So the way Crosswalk Camp was is we had an early bird registration to try to get people registered quickly. So we didn't have last minute registrations. Big joke.
Yeah. <That's
a> big joke.
It never worked. And so we wouldn't hardly get people in the early bird registration, and then we still had people that were last minute. So you're sitting here telling me that with this change, you had an early bird registration still, and you filled up the camp before the early bird registration.
Yes.
Yeah, fill it up very quickly to our numbers. And on top of that—
This is big.
We— in those registrations, we set for this first camp, we set a max of 50 because we didn't know what we could handle.
Right.
We didn't know what we didn't know, so we chose that. Of the 50 registrations, 36 young people, 36 children from the community that we don't know, we had never met before, but we were entrusted from 28 different households. This was new opportunity, new ministry to new children and to their families as well.
That's over 70%.
The very thing that we hope that our camps do, and that's to be a spot for unchurched or de-churched people that are not necessarily in our churches that we can bring from communities to develop relationships. Of course, that was a struggle. Yeah. With this, you guys were able to be in contact and love on 36 brand new kids that you have never met before.
And their families, because we were very intentional on how we structured camp. So we did a Thursday, Friday, Saturday, 8 to 5 camp.
Okay.
But one of the things they did during camp was they worked on like a performance, like a song performance.
Just like all other
we
camps
do. Regular yeah. camp, right. Yeah. But then on Sunday, we did something very special. The camp was for Thursday, Friday, Saturday. But then on Sunday, we did a shorter day, and it was a family celebration day. And it was to get everybody to come up. We did an awards assembly. They got to do their performance. And then we did a huge cookout and block party, and we invited the entire neighborhood.
Not just the campers. Families, the entire neighborhood.
The whole
everyone
community.
Welcome.
Yes. This is a community event. So come.
Because the school's right next to the park. Yeah. The school was right next to the community neighborhood park. So we utilized that. And the relationships that we had built, the HOA one, the guy over the pool, knew us because of our work on the neighborhood park and the different things that our church had done for the neighborhood. And we said, hey, we'd really like to rent the pool one day for swimming. And he said, no, I will donate that.
Wow.
Everything that your church does for us, this is the least I could do. And I'm like, no, absolutely not. Let us pay. And he said, I'm not taking your money. You bring those campers here and let them have a good time.
Wow.
Because it's in the neighborhood where we do our ministry, where we build trust and relationships. And it's just we keep trying to outgive each other.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just, oh, God spoke to us right then.
So kind of to take it back to the original question is, how does it look different?
Yeah.
In my mind, in the way I see it, the only real difference is that you're not staying overnight. In the way we did this camp, there was some different ways we had to rearrange things within mm-hmm. the camp just because we were in one single room. But as far as activities, sermon time for in the chapel or whatever, we still had all that. We still had stuff for them to get filled up, but not as often. But it wasn't a whole lot different than what we saw at Crosswalk.
Yeah.
It was just a little bit more. What's the word I'm looking for?
Organic.
Organic and in a certain space rather than a bigger space.
Yeah.
To kind of differentiate here, because you heard CJ's expression when you mentioned VBS.
Yes.
Our whole concept as we planned this camp was to give the kids a wonderful experience. Again, experiencing life in God's mm-hmm. love, mm-hmm. but a lot of great experience. And so forget about VBS. We created a day camp on steroids. We had a lot of activity. We had a lot of fun underlying it, a spiritual theme and something to deliver to them and their families that would be meaningful. But they had an awesome time, and we know it because each day when we ended at 5 and turned the kids loose, of course, we met in the just at the front of the school there and turned each of the children over to their parents. And we did this day after day after day, and we watched the expressions of these kids as they ran to let their folks know what they did that day. That also gives us an opportunity to meet those parents as they come to pick up their kids. Here's a new relationship, and nothing will melt, a parent's heart and make them, you know, interested in more relationship with you than seeing the joy on their kids' faces.
Yeah.
And the biggest and best change from the entire thing is this entire last year, we had our camp in May. Since May, I have seen, interacted with, and hugged probably 85% of the campers at that camp.
Because they're in your neighborhood.
Because they're in my neighborhood. My son's in school. I see them at every class party, every school enrollment, every community event. And they're coming and they're running and they're hugging us. And they remember us. And they're asking when the next camp's going to be. And it's not this, I don't see them again until the next camp. It's, I get to see them throughout the entire year because they're my neighbors.
Yeah.
You know, there's relationship there. And that is powerful.
Yeah. So there's a big difference between
the residential camp.
Yeah.
We have that touch, that personal touch, not only with the young people like we had in the residential camp, but also with their families at large. And then as was introduced here, we had this big celebration afterwards where we got to interact for an afternoon with their families and a fun block party and the greater part of the neighborhood as well.
Oh, yeah. And the bonding of staff.
Oh, it was so much.
Because, you know, we're in this neighborhood, all the staff, basically we all pile in my house because, you know, I live in the neighborhood. Yeah. And then some staff piled in Pastor Mike's house. But what was interesting is over these nights, after we work all day, we get to come home, eat a meal together, and spend the whole evening as staff bonding and talking about the day and preparing for the next day. And we get this time without the responsibility of campers to let God grow in us.
So you're sitting here saying that there's discipleship occurring with the from the staff to the campers.
Yes.
Of course, throughout the whole day. But then there's this whole other aspect of discipleship that's occurring at night amongst the staff.
Yes.
Every single night. The ones that stayed overnight up in your home and Mike Rasmussen's home. Wow.
Yes. And it was, I mean, at every camp, I can remember every regional camp, we would be up till 3 a.m.
To get that time.
Waiting for the campers to go to bed. And, you know, even the counselors and assistant counselors would have to stay behind with the campers because you can't leave them home. And the rest of us would be up till 3 a.m, even though we had stuff at 7 a.m. because we needed that time together. We craved it just like the campers did.
Yeah.
And, man, this changed everything. Because there weren't counselors left behind.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because our responsibility was off at 5:30.
Yeah.
And then we got to enjoy each other.
Yeah.
And it was very rewarding.
And even from like a logistical standpoint, you can almost debrief every single night. So if there has to be a quick adjustment the next day, you can make that adjustment the next day.
And that's the case. And we did have a couple of cases of certain kids that needed special attention or an activity that wasn't quite working the way we expected, or some of the traffic flow and so on. So we can discuss that in the evening, make an adjustment, make camp even better the very next day.
Wow. So the agility of it.
it was, without just really wearing ourselves out by the late nights and trying to make adjustments at the last moment. It was much more convenient that way.
So I know there's going to be camp directors and camp leaders listening to this that...
Hope so.
Yeah. And I'm sure the question that's coming up is, okay, what did a typical day look like? So can you walk me through kind of a typical day, what it looked like? When did you start? Mm-hmm. And then when did you end? And those kinds of things. Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, we opened the doors to the gym. We said camp would actually start at 8:30, but parents were welcome to drop off between 8 and 8:30. We asked staff to be there by 7:30 a.m. And so we got there 30 minutes before campers would start coming in. By the second day, campers were there at 8 a.m. because they were excited to be there. And, you know, we started off with some icebreakers, and we did a very activity-heavy camp because we had a lot of younger kids, and they have energy.
What was the age range for camp?
We did kindergarten all the way up to 12.
Yeah. 12. Age 12. Sixth grade, basically, or so.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Right.
All right.
And anybody over that was also welcome, but as staff.
Gotcha.
So we did that. We had icebreakers. We had scavenger hunts, and we had, the activities. We had minute to win it games, and it just didn't stop, one thing after the other. One of the things that saved us money, because it started at 8 a.m. and it went till 5 p.m., you know, campers eat breakfast before they come. So we had a morning snack, we'd have a hot lunch together, and then an afternoon snack.
Okay.
That is a huge, you know, savings on cost there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like I said, we rented the pool for a swimming day.
For free.
For free.
Yeah.
We set up slip and slides and stuff for people who didn't swim at the park, which was right next door. We had pep rallies, we were intentional about calling pep rallies instead of chapel.
Oh, okay.
Because we are trying to, you know, reach out to the community where they are. We did not want people to think, oh, I can't send my
camper there because they're a specific denomination that's going to teach a specific doctrine, and that's not true. We wanted everyone was welcome, regardless of what church you go to. We're coming together as a community and celebrating God's love.
Yeah.
And so we had pep rallies, and they were spiritual, and mm-hmm. we were a little worried because of the age, like, how deep can we really go, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They blew our minds. I'll tell really? You that much. They were like, great. We could have gone on for, like,
We could have gone on for 4 hours. The hands, just these little kids, they have a voice and they have something to say.
Wow.
And they experience real stuff. We had a topic on bullying, and I could not believe that these 5, 6, 7, and 8 year olds are like,
yeah, a lot to say.
Just about bullying, how it's not good and how they experience it. It was just unloaded, and it was a beautiful thing to see, and it was encouraging, and everything about this camp was just encouraging.
And it was so much fun.
This new thing that we were so scared of is amazing.
Yeah.
And what God's doing with these children already.
Because you said you had like a quote unquote chapel.
Yeah.
But it was called a pep rally. So did you have worship with that?
We did a little bit.
Yep.
We did this first camp was we had a big screen.
Mm-hmm.
And what we did is we utilized worship through actual videos, like the actual music video, and then we could talk about it. And now as we go, we're going to go deeper and deeper and deeper. That was our first camp. We really wanted to, you know, get them in, get them excited. And every camp, we're going to go a little deeper mm-hmm. and a little deeper and challenge them a little more and a little more.
You can do that because you're in a neighborhood where most of those kids are going to be the same kids that come back, unlike a lot of your traditional camp. Who knows who you're going to have that next camp.
Next
so
camp
being
session.
Able to go deeper, it won't be as easy.
Yeah.
Wow.
And there are developing relationships because we see these kids and their families more often now being in the neighborhood and also with the other activities we do throughout the year.
And it's created such a sense of trust between these parents and our church because they saw how we were with their kids at Camp Surrey. They would come
That's huge.
30 minutes early just to peek in the door and record and watch because they couldn't believe what they were seeing.
Wow.
I had countless, I don't even know how many parents said, we had to drag our kid up here kicking and screaming.
The first day.
Yeah. By the second day,
the kids were dragging the parents.
They were dragging their parents out of bed, saying, "We gotta go. We have Camp Surrey." I mean, and the appreciation in the parents' voice and their eyes, and you know, some of these same parents are some of the same people that are participating in our fundraising, and that it is a circle of relationships and. It's amazing at what God does when you give up control a little bit and say, lead us.
Yeah. So it looked just like a traditional camp as far as the activities. And because I was very fortunate to come and visit and share a little or experience it and film some of it. You guys had a giant 9 square made out of PVC in the middle of the gym,
that
you guys built and you were able to play that and
gaga ball.
You use tables and you turn them sideways to create this little gaga ball corner. So I mean, there was a lot of these activities that you see at all these camps at this camp, but it was just from 8 to 5. You guys ended at 5?
Yep. We ended at 5:15 sharp.
5:15.
So we would start cleaning up about 4:30, 4:45. We did a lot of the chicken dance. Thank you, Joe and Megan.
It's the bird dance.
The bird dance.
There was another one we did.
We did a lot of duck, duck, goose.
Yeah.
I know that sounds
super
lame,
so
but
fun.
It's not.
Yeah.
I forgot how much
fun. Especially when you have like 50 kids playing it and the camp directors and everybody was playing it. Everybody got into it. It was so much fun.
Yeah.
It was more fun than I had had in so long because it was less stressful, less responsibility. You know what I mean? Because we didn't have those overnights. We got to build relationships.
It gave you that time to almost refuel as well.
Yeah.
So you can keep pouring out as much as you were the first day and the second day. It's not, okay, we got one more day left. I know we're all tired, but come on, let's suck it up and let's do this.
Because the traditional camp is you're up at like 7 a.m. and you're pedal to the metal until 11 o'clock at night.
Yeah. Unless you're Army. So. Yeah. And then you're up at 5 a.m. and you're pedal to the metal until about 3 a.m.
Were you going to say something, Mike?
I was going to say, now, you know, you asked the difference in the camp, and now, you know, I'll talk about the ugly, and the ugly is always the price.
That was my question. Yeah, I was going to ask, what were the challenges? You know,
here's the thing, and CJ mentioned already, because we were not a residential camp, we saved on meal costs. We did the lunch plus a morning and afternoon snack. Some food cost was less. Mm-hmm. The venue cost was less because it's not a residential camp, and because of that, the cost to rent a facility like a school gymnasium and a big community park that we used was, you know, incredibly less. And as a result, we weren't in the red even for a first camp year, and investing in some new infrastructure like the Nine Square in the Air, we actually came out good on the funding. Hmm. I just did the budget for the camp for the coming year, and I'm already, you know, looking real good on that one in terms of, you know, if we have a similar population of kids, we're going to be able to do even a better camp and be able to pay for it all as well. Wow. So that's the plus in this. From that standpoint, a residential camp costs much less in terms of food and facility, which means we can plow the fees that you get from the families back more into activities, fun, good things to really reach out to the kids and their families.
And there was air conditioning. And if it rained, it didn't matter because you have an entire gymnasium that you can bring any activity in a gymnasium. The ceilings are huge. It's open. I mean, I don't know. I guess I've gotten rained out too many times at Crosswalk.
Oh, yeah. We've been flooded out at Crosswalk. So tell me this Sunday celebration thing, because I was there for that, and I thought it was pretty amazing to see what you guys did. What was so special about that last day? Because you guys already touched a little bit on it, you really didn't go in depth.
It's big. And this was, as CJ was mentioning, you know, the kids practice a presentation, a song that they were going to do. We had a number of special things for the families where we presented awards for various accomplishments to the kids. And I had an opportunity to interact with the parents first on the first part of that day. And then we go to the backyard park where we have this giant cookout. And as was mentioned, we invited the whole community. And now you think of 50 kids and maybe their parents there and a few siblings and so on. So maybe you're going to expect 200 people. We knew it would be bigger. It exceeded, as Lucas said, over 500, maybe close to 600 people participated. It was just a big community event, an opportunity where people came and grabbed a burger and some chips and drinks and so on. Oh, we had a bounce house and a dunk tank and some other fun games and things. It was an opportunity for people to visit with each other, for the staff to get to know not only families but others in the community. So it became a big community outreach. This was more our church event, because we sponsored that in association with the camp. The church did for another outreach as the as a follow-on to previous outreaches to that community, and it was another touch, another opportunity to interact and meet a lot more people and just love on them.
Yeah, and so all the church members that weren't able to take off work and come to camp, they were able to come on that Sunday celebration and serve a free meal to the community. And what was interesting is this wasn't one of those events where people came and got food and left. We also had a huge, like, 100-foot inflatable obstacle course. Mm-hmm. But these people were coming with their lawn chairs, with their blankets, and they were
Sticking around. They were hanging out.
Was about the unity of a neighborhood.
Yeah.
They were enjoying time with one another.
Yeah.
And immediately during camp, we're connecting our local church to the neighborhood and the campers. Because, like I said, our local church members, even ones that aren't normally involved in camp, were coming to serve this meal and to meet the neighbors.
Wow.
So immediately, we're already connecting.
Before camp's over.
New relationships.
Not just the kids, but their families right. and the neighborhood back to the local church.
Yeah. Wow. So you're talking about church members that are in a particular neighborhood, building relationships and connections with, you know, certain people in the neighborhood, like the pool people, the HOA, the park, the school, and then you have this camp that's a neighborhood camp in the same neighborhood where you have all these kids that are in the neighborhood coming to this neighborhood camp, and then on the last day, you get to go deeper with the parents that are in the neighborhood, and then you get to meet hundreds of more people that are from the neighborhood.
Right.
Yeah.
This is why GCI is always talking about find your target community.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to say it was easy, but it was easy.
No. that, I mean, much that, easier than a lot of things.
I mean,
yes.
I feel like God did all the work for us, honestly.
He did all that. I mean, he did the brunt of the work. We just participated and hung out for the ride.
He brought
you know?
The people, you know, and I guess easy as a proportion to the results.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, for what we had to do in terms of staffing it and costing and so on, the fruit from it in terms of relationship, which is what we're all about because that's what God is all about.
Mm-hmm.
It's a tremendous fruit for the amount of labor put in.
Yeah, there is no way 5 years ago or even 3 years ago, if you asked us, could we get 600 people in our target community to come to a church event? We would have said, no, that would be impossible. That would be so hard to do. And it's because we didn't do it.
Yeah.
The Spirit did it.
Yeah.
But there's another little benefit implied with what CJ just said too, those other the broader church family that came out and participated that day and helped flip burgers or serve or just come and have a meal with people, they saw something that they had not seen before, and that is that potential, that opportunity to serve a vast amount of people in a community and have them come out and just want to be with us. Where does the church get an opportunity to do that in such a free sense, free and easy sense?
Yeah.
So it was very heartening, very uplifting opportunity for our church members to see what the potential is in that community.
Yeah.
What do you envision for Camp Surrey in the future?
They want to say.
No, I don't want to say the wrong thing here. I don't know. Yeah,
well, first of all, I'm going to take a preliminary step before we go there. It's not enough just to do this and then to look ahead to next year's Camp Surrey. We already had in mind, before we even started day one of camp, we had the next community activity planned. Mm-hmm. Wow. Since this was an early summer camp, we had another back-to-school opportunity planned already for later that summer. So we were already letting people know, stay tuned, watch for the next activity, so we could invite those children, their families, the community back. So later in the summer, we had another activity. So we had another touch with them.
Yeah.
And it goes on, because from there, then we had a trunk-or-treat activity at the Halloween season, and oh yes, we had a Christmas parade and a social at the local country club at Christmas time, and we have more activities planned. So it's not enough, I feel, to do a camp and say, good enough, we'll come back next year and do it again. Let's keep those opportunities for outreach and relationship going by doing the next thing and the next thing. And there are other things we have in mind, you know, to help with maybe stuffing backpacks for school back to school event. There's so much that can be done, and we want to go there because we know that'll produce fruit as well.
So you're envisioning camp not being a standalone entity.
Mm.
But yet being a part of the life of the church, a tool.
That's what I was going to say. So many times we see camp as our, like, that is our big thing. That is our destination. That is our outreach.
Yeah.
That's not what camp needs to be. If camp is the most important ministry to you, and that, or that's the only ministry to you, then you need to rethink it, because camp is a tool just like every other event that you do, just like every other thing that you do that promotes relationship with each other and with Jesus. And I mean, that's the thing. Like, it didn't stop with camp. We already had that back to school event, and it made the news.
Did make the local news, as a matter of fact.
Was that the water balloon?
It was the neighborhood water balloon fight.
Yeah, and you guys didn't even contact the news. The news got wind of it, and they came. They covered it. They covered that you guys had this massive neighborhood water balloon fight.
Awesome.
Again, several hundred people from the community came out for that, and a food truck event afterwards to share time together.
That's right. It was like a luau or
luau. Yeah, we had some beachy music playing and some activities down after. We just hung out and enjoyed the time afterward with everybody. And I'll tell you what, probably the funnest part about that, other than throwing water balloons at everybody, was after we were done, we had thousands upon thousands of water balloon.
Over 10,000 broken water
pieces balloons. To pick up.
Oh.
Because we didn't want to leave a mess in this neighborhood area. This is our community.
Yeah.
We are GCI. We leave everything better than we find it, right?
Yeah. So.
And so afterwards, we're like, everybody needs to, let's just help for a little while. Let's all get down and let's pick up all these water balloon pieces. So everybody was on board, and the fellowship while we were down on our knees picking up these balloons was amazing. The relationships that were being built.
The jokes.
It was just great.
Are you sitting here telling me, Lucas, that broken water balloons was leading people to Jesus?
Absolutely. Crawling around, grown adults and kids crawling around on our hands and knees, picking up little pieces of water balloons out of the grass. People who couldn't crawl were holding bags, you know, and the conversation and the bonding and the laughing. I mean, there was more relationship that happened cleaning up 10,000 pieces of water balloons
than the actual water balloon fight
itself.
It was, and this is not just the church members doing this or the staff doing this. This is
the whole neighborhood.
Mm-hmm. Everyone did this together. Church, neighborhood, kids, adults, doing something together for the common good and feeling good about it. And by the way, conversing and sharing life.
The camp is not the crescendo of the song. It's just another piece of the whole song.
It's a beautiful note.
Yeah.
But it's a note.
Yeah. So what would you say to those camp directors or even those pastors that may not be camp directors, but they want something more in their community? But I guess specifically the camp directors that are seeing similar signs that the camps that they're involved in, they're having to beg for people to come and serve. They're having to pay for flights. I mean, I've heard of some of this stuff where we've even in the past have helped cover certain costs just to get certain people at camp. And so they're paying for flights to get, you know, counselors. They're having to do all kinds of things just to get people at camp. So they're kind of seeing these signs. What would you say to those camp directors? Mm.
I think it's, you know, use that term, reimagine what could be. We have to evaluate some things in terms of what we're accomplishing. The regional camps are wonderful events. I've enjoyed them for years, and many families have. But we have to take a look at what it produces and whether it goes deep enough and is sustaining enough. Does it tie back to the local church and allow us to continue in ministry to children, families, neighborhood, community, or is it a standalone event? You know, yes, a big crescendo, mountaintop experience, but then we come down off the mountain, and how much more is it accomplishing? If it's not accomplishing what your real objectives are, maybe it's time to reimagine another way. And one of those ways, and we would never say, do it our way, do what we did, but this is one way it could be done. Yeah. In a neighborhood, consider a target neighborhood, consider where you have a critical mass of individuals and families that could be reached out to and possibly on a sustaining basis. And if that's if there's something like that out there, maybe it's time to imagine how it could come to your church and your community.
That actually answered my next question.
Ah.
Because my next question was, what if there was a pastor or ministry leader out there wanting to pursue a neighborhood camp?
Mm.
What one piece of advice would you give?
Mm. Put a feeler out. Yeah. I mean, if you're scared, because I promise you, most people are scared to make this move.
Yeah.
They're scared. I was scared. Were you scared?
Yeah, I was scared.
We
were wondering what would happen with this.
Because
we knew how to do camp on a regional basis.
We didn't know how to do this.
Yeah. We didn't know how to do it at all. We had to create it from the ground up, but, you know, endeavor to make it all it could be.
Right. And so if you're scared, here's the thing. Find your local neighborhood Facebook page and put a feeler out. Say, hey, I was just thinking... Comment below if you think you might be interested in having a neighborhood day camp that's fun and filled with activities and celebrate God's love right here in the community for a few days this summer. We did that. And we knew right away we were going to get traction because people went crazy. I mean, you know, put out a feeler. Ask. But more than anything, I would say ask Jesus where he's leading. Not where you want to go or not where you want to stay, but ask Jesus what his plans are and be willing to be courageous and, you know, take a step out in faith. I think that the rewards are going to be amazing and mind-blowing.
Yeah,
our minds were blown, and it's not because, oh, we're so special, we're so good. It's God is so good.
Yeah.
You know, we wouldn't have thought of this. This is something that our denomination thought of.
Yeah.
You know, the Spirit led our leaders in our denomination to go this way. And, you know, they then communicated that to us. And there's a synergy within our denomination. You know, let's do this together. Let's, you know, we are GCI.
Yeah.
So let's follow the Spirit and where the Spirit is leading, wherever that might be. So, you know, undig your heels out of the ground.
And explore. And it sounds like where it really started was the relationships in the community first.
Yeah.
Because if we don't know what would have happened or how things would have looked if you didn't have that same relationship to where when you did launch this camp, what would happen. But because you had the relationship in the neighborhood, you know, this seems to be exploring.
We were testing that possibility already ahead of time, thinking that there might be something there. We got some good initial responses, and that seemed like a prudent place to bring a camp and see what we could do to help.
And lots of random messages from neighbors who I'd never met in person, but they knew me from Facebook because I was constantly on the neighbor's page. Hey, how can I help? You know, what's going on? I'll pray for you. Things like that, that there was a sense of trust created. So I would get these messages saying, hey, tell me about this neighborhood camp because I'm a little worried. You know, my son's 5. He doesn't swim. And just for me to be able to say, I will be there every single day.
Yeah.
I will give you my cell phone number. You are welcome to come up and watch. You know, whatever you, I'm your neighbor. And there was a trust there already that broke down walls. You know, I wasn't some stranger. We weren't some strange church they had never heard of because our kids are our most prized possession.
Right.
You know, like, well, most of us. I guess it depends on the day, right?
But, you know, to CJ's point, 36 children that we didn't know were entrusted to us for those days.
Yeah. That's
so
huge.
Yeah. It hit home. But it took that foundation of building, you know, through outreach to the community, through communication, Facebook and other communication, and an attractive invitation, setting a concept and a vision for families to look at and say, our kids should participate in this. And
if others wanted to contact you guys for advice or questions or anything like that, would they be able to contact you guys?
Yeah, we'd be delighted to visit with anyone on that, because we do have this this dream as well, and that is that we're not the only one. We don't want to be the only neighborhood camp. We didn't even know that we would be the best neighborhood camp, but we have a vision for there being more of these throughout the denomination, throughout the country, and because we know it'll serve other communities and, you know, possibly lead to, as a feeder system, as was mentioned earlier, to a new concept for regional camps as well from the children that attend their neighborhood camp over the years.
They'll be filled.
Yeah.
If we go back to a regional camp, if everyone were to go to a community camp, and within a few years, all those community camps became a regional camp, these camps would be filled.
Yeah. You wouldn't have to worry.
There wouldn't be begging people to come. You know?
Yeah. No guessing in it.
Yeah. Well, I guess we'll put contact information in the show notes.
Please do.
That way. I know. More show notes. I did have one last question, though.
Oh, great.
Uh-oh.
What now?
Would you rather... This one's going to be real... This one's going to be really good for CJ. Because I know CJ really well. Would you rather only be able to whisper or only be able to shout everything?
Why are you all looking at me? You guys can answer first.
I would choose... whisper, because I think I can communicate in a whisper and draw people even closer if I have something compelling to say.
Nice.
I'm going to agree with a whisper. I would go with whisper too, but and drawing, I think it would allow more opportunities for relationships to be built rather than to be pushed away almost, because yelling is kind of synonymous with anger to a degree, somewhat. I definitely would pick whisper.
And CJ?
Well, I would obviously, I would obviously pick whisper because I already shout all the time. So it would be like, you know, a change. But also, I mean, mine aren't for such amazing reasons. Like, I can't tell secrets if I'm shouting.
On a personal basis, yeah.
Where's the surprises? Where's the, you know? It's all about the whisper.
Oh, yeah. Nice. Very cool. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for all three of you being here and being able to share this experience. And we just continue to pray that the Spirit moves.
Thanks,
Joe. Because
that's
what's going on.
We appreciate being here, Joe.
I am so glad that we kept the whole hour and just decided to split it up into two parts of this episode. And I'll tell you this, the way that they do the neighborhood camp, the way that they do the youth camp, it's not the only way, but from what I've seen, it's a really great way to do, I say great, it's a really great way to do camp ministry. Listen, pastors, ministry workers, camp directors, I have been in camp ministry for a long time. Michelle, you've been in camp ministry quite a bit as well. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen a camp model that can truly reach a community directly and tie directly into the life of a church as what I saw in this kind of model. Mm-hmm. You know, it's easy to sit there and take something and kind of nitpick it and disagree with something. But one of the great questions that I like to ask myself when it comes to like consuming leadership development, or even if I'm reading like a spiritual book of some sort and there's like a challenge, is not sit there and see, okay, why do I disagree with this writer or something like that? But it's like, God, what are you showing me? Mm. What are you showing me in this? And so my challenge when I'm sitting here listening to them is, God, what are you showing me in this? Mm-hmm. I might be holding on to how I think youth camp should be, this big regional special thing. Nothing wrong with that. Mm-hmm. But what are you showing me by listening to this podcast? Do I need to start asking the difficult questions and the tough questions? Mm-hmm. Is there life in what we're doing, even in ministries, in our churches?
Right.
Yeah, I think you saw that come up time and time again. What a great reflective question. And you could hear that they had processed it that way and that it was a gospel-minded decision. You know, they did it for better discipleship. You know, what they were doing was working for them, but was it working for the children that they were discipling?
Right, mm-hmm. Right. I mean, the fact, one of the things that I think CJ said was, I think it's amazing how I can be going to the convenience store mm-hmm. and I see some of the kids and the parents
yes.
that were at camp, and the kids run up and they give me a hug mm-hmm. in the convenience store right there in their neighborhood.
Right.
Come on. That's discipleship. That's ministry right there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're seeing them in the marketplace.
Yes.
So it just... To me, it makes my heart pitter patter.
Makes it grow two sizes.
And before we jump off here on this part two of episode 5, just a reminder that the 2019 regional celebrations are still going on. The theme is Healthy Leaders for Healthy Churches. Registration is almost closed. The Western celebration registration is closed, but you can still get into the Dallas one. Registration closes April 15th. The Charlotte celebration closes April 30th. So go get registered, and you can find out more information at gci.org/events. You can get all the details there. And bring your ministry leaders and your ministry workers. We've been sitting here in this episode talking about collaboration.
Mm-hmm.
What a great time to collaborate with your team.
Yes. And actually, Joe and I will both be at Dallas and Charlotte, so we'd love to see you there.
Yes! We'll be there signing autographs.
Absolutely
not. We're not that popular.
We'll be giving away high fives.
Hey!
And maybe stealing them if you don't want to give them.
That's right. So we would love to see you there. So go get registered so we can talk with you, hang out. You can give us, you know, what you've gotten out of these podcasts.
Collaborate with us.
Come on, let's do this. You don't want to miss this.
We want to thank you for listening to this episode of the GC Podcast. We hope you have found value in it to become a healthier leader. We would love to hear from you. If you have a suggestion on a topic, or if there's someone who you think we should interview, email us at info@gci.org. Remember, healthy churches start with healthy leaders. Invest in yourself and your leaders.